depend on God to do what we can't do. And when we look around and see God does answer prayer, you owe God a praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the Acts of the Apostles. We'll be reading out of the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. The Bible reads, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, it was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Supporting scripture coming from Proverbs 12 and 22 that you've already heard in your hearing. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. On the basis of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning: conspiracy to tell a lie. Conspiracy to tell a lie. We thank God. We thank God for allowing us to come this morning, and thank God for touching my heart this morning and letting me feel the presence of his precious spirit. Because anytime you feel the presence of God's spirit, it just makes you feel like going on. Makes you feel like everything is worthwhile, because once you are convinced that God has not left you, there's something that just sort of excites you on the inside, and it gives you peace of mind, and it's comforting to know that God is still right there. Despite those things that the enemy might bring your way, when you are convinced within yourself that I have the Lord on my side. And then if you're one this morning that know enough about the word of God to know that if I'm in the Father's hand, then no man is able to pluck me out. It doesn't matter how many haters there are around me. I don't care how much you hate on me. You can't take away the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. And I use me, but I'm talking about you as an individual. If you believe that God is with you, then no matter what they think about you, just know that everything God made is good. And so we are thankful that God, with his amazing grace and mercy, has blessed us and allowed us to come together one more time. And in our coming this morning, we come for the main purpose of worship and praise, to lift up and to magnify his holy name. We realize this morning that another week has passed us by, and every day last week was complete with the natural cycles of life. You think about last week, good things happened as well as bad things. Had nice days, and yet we had rainy days. Last week, every day, somebody died, and every day a baby was born. Every day, somebody felt good, and then there are those bodies that experience pain. That there's some folk that go through pain every day of their lives, and they've learned how to live with the pain. And then there are those others that never know or have never experienced what real pain or real sickness is all about. Truth be told, while many lies were told last week, but I thank God that there are many that told the truth. You got to understand that every day pretty much is filled with some of the same thing. There were some folk hungry last week. There's going to be some folk hungry today, but yet there are those of us that will dine and we'll eat all until we get as full as we want to get. But that does not discredit the fact that there's still somebody with a grumble in their stomach. The natural cycles of life happens every day. And so every day we're in the midst of all of these many different things that are going on around us and with us. But how many of you understand and believe that there are things that we have control over and there are some things that we don't have any control over? And so we learn to live life. We learn and we've been taught to take it just one day at a time. We got to be reminded that every day, as David said, is a day of thanksgiving. And today is another day that the Lord God has made. And David put it like this: we will rejoice and be glad in it. You ought to have some reason to have some joy in your life. I don't know how your day started this morning, but whatever might have happened this morning, it's already past and gone. So you got to learn how to shake the devil off. You got to learn how to not allow the enemy to mess up your whole day. Because you might get up, you know, we use that term sometimes. Did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, now with my problem is that my bedroom is so small that I can't get up but on one side of the bed. So every day I get up on the same side. So I got to decide whether or not it's going to be a good day or a bad day. Anybody hear me? Stop using petty excuses to justify you walking around looking for a pity party. You got some issues and you got some problems, but your neighbor got just as many problems as you got. You got some ailments in your body, but there's somebody that is in a worse condition than you are. So I thank God for a drive down on the inside to let you know that I got to go on anyhow. You got to know that you can't allow the enemy to rob you of everything that God has given you. You got to listen to the master when he speaks and encourage you. And you got to learn how to speak back. Talk up for yourself. Tell the devil, you're a liar. You don't have any place in my life. Oh, yeah, you might have started messing with me this morning, but I'm over that now. Because I opened up my mouth and I called on my master. And when I called on the master, he heard my humble cry. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? There are times when you get up with good intentions and all of a sudden you realize I can't move like I thought I was going to move this morning. So you have to slow your pace down just a little bit. But after you get your bearings together and you sit down and you get everything moving just like God would allow it to move, then you know that the day going to be a good day. Hallelujah. I visit a whole lot of people going through, and a lot of time that's their conversation is, when I woke up this morning, I didn't feel too good, but as the day progressed, everything got a little bit better. Now, how many of you mid-age folk, I won't say young folk, because we got some mid-age folk that's my age and younger than me, and don't go down too far, but I say between 30 and 50 on up, we done already started experiencing what we thought wasn't going to come until we was about 60 or 70. But how many of you know that we got some aches and some pains and some groans going on that you think that we just as old as the saints of God? If Mom Pearl can go out there at 90-something years old and clean out a flower bed when she ain't got no more business out there in that yard, but because of what God put down in her heart, she is able because she got a will to do. See, lazy folk don't care. They use it as an excuse. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be in the midst of a people that refuse to give up on life. I'm thankful to be in the midst of a people that know that when I call God, God comes to my rescue. I'm grateful to be a part of a family where the Lord God will touch your heart and touch your body. And whatever pain you have, God is able to make that pain go away. Even if it's nothing but just periodically or just for a few moments, Lord, give me a few minutes of just peace and relaxation. And don't let me have to go through anguish and through pain. But the reality of life. is that we don't know what we're going to have to encounter one day to the next. Last week we talked about praying, and today we want to talk about telling lies. Most importantly, those of us that lie to God. We don't find it too difficult this morning to tell a lie to one another. But it's another thing. It's a brand new, a different ball game when it comes to telling a lie to God. I found out through our text, and I'll deal with that a little bit later, that it's a dangerous thing to tell a lie to God. And it's even more dangerous when you put your head together with somebody else for the sole purpose of misleading or telling a lie on something or somebody. There's some of us that know that there comes a time when you sit down and you make a plan and you premeditate your plan, and that plan is full of deceit. You join together in a scheme to tell a lie, a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. That's what a lie is. A lie is a false statement with deliberate intent to deceive. And the deceive part of it is that you done told a lie, because if you didn't tell what's the truth, then how is the individual that you are talking with going to know exactly where you're coming from? See, when you tell somebody what you feel like that they just want to hear, if you don't mean what you're saying, then that is a lie. We got to understand that some lies are intentional. Some lies we justify by saying, well, I told a lie to make things better, but a lie is just a lie. Untruth, a falsehood, a fabricated story of mistruths. And we know about lying. We have to understand to tell a lie is to say something that we know for ourselves that it is not true. Crazy question. Have you ever told a lie? Preachers? Do you know? Have you ever, ever told a lie? So lying is something that we are familiar with. But I wonder this morning how many of us are honest enough to admit that at some time in my life, I have told a lie. Regardless to the reason why you lie, a lie is a lie. And in most cases, one lie leads to another lie. We heard it over and over again that the word of God declares that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But as long as you hide behind a lie, you're bound. You cannot be free when you're full of lies, because you are bound by those lies. You are bound by mischief. You are bound by doing things that are not right in the sight of a loving God. And so now we find out that when we allow ourselves to be bound by lies, if what we need is to get some help. Anybody need help with your lying tongue? Well, I'm here to let you know that I can't help you. But if you will look to the hills from which cometh all of your help, then my God is able to help you to sort of slow down your lying tongue. Now understand that the Bible declares that the tongue is that one member part of the body that cannot be tamed. Anybody ever tried to catch yourself from saying something and all of a sudden it just come out? You ever been going through a situation? You can be cleaning the house, you can be cooking, anything can be going on, and something out of the ordinary or something unexpected happened, and somebody may even touch your wrong button, and all of a sudden you said something that did not come out of the Bible, did not come out of the Sunday school lesson, did not come from your mother, your daddy's mouth, but you got it from somewhere. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God don't hold everything against us, because if God held everything against us, when that slip of the lip, happens. If God wasn't a merciful and forgiving God, most of us would be messed up right now. Lies. Most of us understand, and we try to teach our children, don't tell me no lie. Anybody ever been told, now, I'm going to beat you. But if you lie to me, it's going to be worse. Anybody ever told you that if you just tell me the truth, I might even let you off? But how many of you know you can look right in your mama's face? You might tell that lie, but mama know you. Mama know you got a certain blink of the eye when you telling a lie. Mama know that every now and again when you telling a lie, you start stuttering. Any other time you talk plain, but now today you want to wait a minute. You get ready to tell a lie. So don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Let us, if you will, look at the first lie. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now look at the liar. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God do know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So here we are, we have an individual that God has made from the dust of the ground, and God, the Lord God, took man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The lie, the deception, was twisting up the word of God. For what the serpent said, what the enemy said, what the devil said was, you shall not surely die. So in other words, the devil is putting doubt into her mind that, oh no, you're not going to die. It's going to be all right. Any enemy ever approached you in that manner? Mama told you don't go, but they say, oh, she ain't going to be that man. Come on, it's going to be all right. When we disobey or be disobedient to what God has said or what the law of the house has said, then you're in jeopardy of being in trouble. But now, I'm glad Cat just made that sound. For I sit around them, and you know, there were a lot of siblings in their house. And so, don't want to tell Cat's business, but she might be one that want to sneak out the house. And so now, in order to get back in the house in good grace, she got to have a sister that'll tell a lie and act like she was already in here. That is a conspiracy to tell a lie. Thank you. Let me use you this morning. So now we realize that God does not like liars. King Solomon, a man that loved God, a man that was full of wisdom. The Bible says that he said that a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is help. So in other words, what King Solomon is saying, if you know how to manage or maintain or control your tongue, then you are a wise individual. You got to know when to keep your mouth closed. Then you got to know that there are times when you can't be hush mouth. You got to learn how to say no. You got to learn how to say not right now. You got to learn how to say, I said what I mean and I mean what I say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is only but for a moment. A lie don't hold up. If you tell the truth is going to help you, even though the truth may get you in trouble. Even though the truth may put you in jeopardy of getting a beating or getting locked up or whatever the case may be, depending upon your age or who you did what you did to. But the Bible declares, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the counsel of peace is joy. So sometimes when you think about this conspiracy, you got to realize that it started in here. The enemy started messing with your mind and started telling you that if you get with such and such and you put it together, then when we get on one accord, then all we got to do is stick to the story. Bible said lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So we find out that our mouth and our hands are our most productive members of our body. And we must manage and strive to manage them in a way that will be pleasing unto the Lord our God. We got to know that God wants somebody that is going to tell the truth. And whenever you tell God the truth, then he is happy and he is pleased. We got to understand that when we go into asking and talking to God, you got to talk to God sincerely. We talked about praying on last week. So when we pray to God, we got to tell him what we want. We got to tell God the truth. If we are nothing but a wretch undone, then it's all right to say, Lord, I'm nothing but a wretch undone. If I told a lie last week, then God, I told a lie about my friend last week. But God, forgive me for my lying tongue. You got to understand that you cannot go and just get away with the lies that you told on this side of life. Everything that you said, you got to give an account of. But now, as we look at our text, let me ask the question. Have you ever been caught up in a lie? Or told a lie that backfired on you? You know how it is when you told a lie and you think that you done got away? And all of a sudden, that lie come and find you out. That lie is what they say, what was done in the dark shall come to the light. So that lie that you told and thought that you were getting away, that lie that you told when you threw the rock and hid your hand, now you're getting ready to be exposed. Now you're getting ready to be called out. Now you're getting ready to be known as the liar that you really are. In our text this morning, we take to heart the fact that there's a husband and a wife that has put their heads together. And they put their heads together to come up with a conspiracy to tell a lie. You got to know that when you've done the wrong thing, that God wants somebody that is willing to do the right thing. Our text this morning talks about a certain man by the name of Ananias. Ananias and his wife Sapphira was very good people. It did not say that they were unbelievers. It did not say that they were one that didn't know who God was. But the Bible declared that they went and they sold their land. And they sold their land for a certain amount of money. But the Bible declared that being privy to it, they had this conspiracy going on. Now, we're going to sell the land, and we got this much. But before we go and lay it at the apostles' feet, I want you to know that this is how much we're going to give. And this is how much we're going to keep for ourselves. Now, you got to understand that what's yours is yours. But you can't lie to the power of a mighty God. You see, when we back up just a little bit, we realize that it hadn't been very long that the people of God realized that everybody in the land needed something. And if you got and I need, then you ought to give me what I need. But how many of you know that even church folk won't do that? We act like what's mine is mine and you got to fend for yourself. But the Bible declared that we got to stop going through those kind of motions. The Bible declared that there came a time that those that had houses and those that had land sold everything that they had. The Bible declared that they sold this thing and they sold it in a way that nobody was able to lack anything. Have you ever had anybody to lend you a helping hand? The Bible declared that every penny that they got, they laid down at the apostles' feet. And after they laid them down, distributions were made to those that had need. I want to let you know that God will take care of his own. But you better learn how to be honest with what God has done. When God give you something, you ought to do with it what God tell you to do. But too many times we want to do our own thing. I stopped by to tell somebody that you better stop conspiring to tell a lie. You better tell God what is the truth. For the Bible declared that they went and they lied to the Holy Ghost. For they said that we didn't get but a certain amount of money. We find out that Ananias stood there before the apostles, laid the money down and pretended like I gave you everything that I got. But the Bible realized that Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? In other words, what is going on in your mind? What made you want to tell a lie to me? What made you want to tell a lie to the power of God? I may not know exactly what you got, but the Lord our God know everything that you got. I want to let you know this morning that when God allows you to have something, you better give God back what is rightfully his. The Bible declared that they tried to fool the apostles. They laid the money down at the apostles' feet. But Peter had the discernment of spirit. Something said something just ain't right. He began to ask Ananias, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Ananias said he had the word of God. And he began to tell that lie anyhow. Where the Bible said he fell right down, gave up the ghost and died right there. Now we weren't living in the time we're living right now. But when somebody died, you had to hurry up and bury them. It wasn't no embalming. It wasn't no funeral homes. It wasn't no waiting till next week to have the service. They took him out of the house right then. The Bible declared that the men came in, picked up Ananias, took him outside and buried him. Well, they tell me about 3 hours later. You see, the wife wasn't there when he died. She wasn't there when he was buried. You know how we are. We get all bent out of shape. Like we can stop somebody from dying. Oh, Lord, I wish I would have been there. I wasn't there when he died. Oh, she could have been all torn up. But hey, oh, we got to look at Sapphire. Sapphire remembered what she had planned with her husband Ananias. She went right before the same apostle. Stood right there before Peter. Peter began to ask her the same question. But he realized that they had already had a conspiracy. He already knew she was going to tell a lie. So he just started right out asking her the question, why are you and your husband, why did you go together in your mind to tell a lie to the power of God? The Bible said he didn't even give her time to give an answer. Don't you know it's a dangerous thing to tell a lie to the Lord? When you look at this story about Ananias and Sapphira, when they fell right dead just from telling a lie out of their mouth, I want to tell somebody this morning that if you got a lying tongue, you better ask the Lord your God, clean up my mouth, take the lying out of my mouth, because if I lie to the power of God, I might be like Ananias. I might die and go to hell. I might not ever see my God. I know that God is able, for the Lord God has prepared a place for me. But I want to tell somebody that if you trust the power of a mighty God, you got to love God with all of your heart. You got to tell the Lord God the truth. I know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if God's truth will make you free, you better learn how to open up your mouth. Say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for all the lies I told in my life. Lord, I'm sorry that I just didn't know what I was doing. I want to know, is there anybody in the house, anybody in here this morning ever had a problem with a lie or a liar? You know how it is sometimes. Once you find out you can't trust somebody, you will tell them, I don't deal with liars. I don't like nobody to tell me a lie. Well, if you don't like nobody lying to you, what you think God think about when you lie to him? So that you just said, for God I'll live and for God I'll die, but won't give God nothing. For the Bible declares, the least that you've done to your brother, you did it unto me. So when you don't give to help somebody else's need, oh my God, oh my God, I just want to thank my God for opening up my blinded eyes. I saw about to help somebody to let you know this morning. Don't conspire in your mind. Don't have a party. Don't have a meeting. Don't have a gathering to put somebody in the wrong place, to tell a lie on somebody. You know how it is sometimes. We'll set somebody up, tell a lie on somebody, and have somebody to back up that lie. That is a conspiracy to tell a lie. But I want to tell you this morning that soon and very soon, your lying tongue is going to cease. You can't help but tell God the truth. But when you stand before the judgment seat of God, you can lie if you want to, but it's already been written in the book. Everything we said, everything that we have done. If you read the story, it never tells how much Ananias had. It don't say how much he kept. But now, look at what the apostles let him know. It was your land in the first place. Whatever money they gave you was your money. You didn't have to bring nothing. But the lie was pretending that I brought everything that I got for the land, and I'm going to lay it at your feet so you can use it to help somebody. But the problem was, what the lie is, that you didn't lay everything down. You kept some for yourself. So now, let us get this reality. All the money that him and his wife kept, you can't use it dead. We hear it all the time. People telling you that you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. You can't. I don't care how much you love your things. When you give up the ghost, your things are anybody's things. Conspiracy to tell a lie. And now in my calm voice, all I was saying was that when we put our heads together to tell God a lie, and we look in that fifth chapter of Acts, we find that it is such a dangerous thing to lie to God that they feel dead right there on the spot. It wasn't no getting ready time. It wasn't no time of coming back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But the Bible declares that immediately they gave up the ghost. And then that last verse says that the same men that took the husband to the grave came to pick up the wife, took out there and laid her right there by her conspirer, right beside him. Wonder what was on the headstone. None of us know, and I refuse to guess. It's a dangerous thing to conspire to tell God a lie.